Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the School Free Life podcast. I have a beautiful mama of 4 and long-term unschooler. Is that the right word? Seasoned
I think we're inventing
unschooler.
them as we
We're
go.
inventing them. I guess that's in the spirit of unschooling, isn't it? Erica Creever with me today, and we're going to chat about all things unschooling and long-term unschooling, because on this podcast we haven't really had anybody like you, Erica, that's has as much experience as you. So I'm really excited to hear about your journey, and I'm sure everybody listening is as well. Would you like to introduce yourself and go a little bit deeper into who you are and what you do and anything else that feels true for you?
As you said, Amy, I'm a mum of four. And I often use the term unschooling because I guess nowadays people kind of understand what that means. But it doesn't entirely feel true to what I do. I've used different words throughout my eldest is 22. So it's been a long journey, but like what I've settled into is life-centric learning because it really, really what I wanted for my kids always, like what was really alive within me from the word go was that I really truly wanted them to be able to be themselves and to know what that is. Because I think a lot of us spend our 30s trying to figure out who we really truly are underneath. Homeschooling and life learning and all that is just such a great way of doing that through our children, because we also are buffeted with situations that can be triggering. But I was raised in just a normal schooling, state school in a city. And so I thought I'd be radical and book my son into a Steiner school when he was born 22 years ago. And everyone was like, oh. And
Totally.
that just didn't work out. I'll give you like the really quick version. That just did not work out. He hated it. Because he is just a free spirit, and he, of course, he just wanted to be outside climbing the trees and like playing with the bugs, and he's like four. So I was like, oh, like what do you do? And so I just take him out and just see. And that's when I started to find out about homeschooling and even unschooling. Like there's these people that raise their children without any form of formal, well, the only formal education that these children receive is what they choose to do. And that felt like a really great, that just felt like the only way, actually. And it felt like a really beautiful carry on from how the healing I was doing within myself to birth them in the way that that I did. So it just felt like a continuation on, but it just took me a minute to find it. So we've done lots of different things, like we've done what people were terming at the time radical unschooling. We've done, from that to now, my older two of my older kids who are 18 and 17, they both decided to go to a Steiner school to do their senior. So we've done like the huge like variation of things in between that, and all of it really centered around what their life, the life energy that was flowed through them, where that was being called, and then also the wisdom of me as a mother to like hold a container around that, to not let it just be like, whoa, whatever. Like you're just that whole big world out there, just go for it. That I found in my experience, having this beautiful, loving container around it was when they thrived.
I love that so much. Yes, because there's some misconceptions around unschooling, and it definitely can sway that way in some families, but yeah, I feel it's just so much more expansive for everybody when it's held. And that's our job, isn't it, as parents, to hold that container and meet our children exactly where they're at. So beautiful, amazing. And so at that time, 22 years ago, I mean, was there much of an unschooling community or homeschooling community where you were, or was did it seem pretty radical to the people that were around you? I imagine it would, but I mean, sometimes I'm surprised. Sometimes people are like, no, it was chill. It just depends where you live, I suppose, but
And I had like epic people. I was on the Sunshine Coast. It's really alternative, and it's not like, it was definitely radical. I didn't know anyone else at that time doing that, and my best friends were books of people who had come before me. Like, they definitely were amazing, like pioneers that came before me, like John Holt and Naomi Eldord, and like I had these books that I would just like hold for dear life.
Amazing.
And hey, it's gonna be okay. And also, oh gosh, there's so many amazing people that came before me, like that just blew my mind. And I love nothing more than having my mind blown and to learn about like the human and what it's capable and of and the beauty it can create. So it was just there definitely was a quite a movement in America. But yeah, not so much where I was. And then so I moved down here, and I found my little posse down here. It wasn't very big. There was, like a bunch of us, and we all did it our own way. Like, we didn't have any set things of like what it needs to look like to be in the club. We were just like, oh, you're at home on a Tuesday, great, let's make a little
Love it.
at the beach, let's, it wasn't a formal thing. But I live, as you do, Amy, we live in a place that is so rich with like creatives
We're very,
and
very blessed.
really epic people, which I can't imagine most places do have that when you live there. But I was like, why are the kids not with these people? Like, they need to like be together, and these kids need to be around people who like live their passion, and they just need to like be constantly soaking in that reality, and so it becomes really normal to them. And so that's what sort of sparked me to then create Luminous Youth, and that was just like a whenever it happens meetup where I just get creatives from the community and say, let's just do an amazing workshop with the kids for a couple of hours, and an amazing place in town in Byron let us do it there without insurance, and
Great.
monks, and we had, sacred geometry people, and all this like really cool stuff. And yeah, so it was just birthed as a real grassrootsy kind of mash of humans just wanting to live from their hearts, I guess.
That's incredible. And for those who are listening, Luminous Youth has evolved a lot over the years and it's still going. And I'm sure it's taken on a lot of manifestations. Would you like to speak about how Luminous Youth has evolved for you over the years? And I'm sure it probably evolved as your children got older and as you guys as a family evolved.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear about that.
it really evolved. It was that for quite a long, well, yeah, a little while, like a year or two. And we did like bits at festivals so the kids would get to meet really big speakers. And yeah, it was just kind of that, which was very unorganized and very organic. And then I met my partner, Paul, who is the father of my beautiful fourth 8-year-old daughter. And he is just a powerhouse, and he was kind of really already kind of sitting with all this kids need a voice. He had this little kind of thing called Back Out Loud, and he was working with educating people around plastics in the environment, and he did a couple of workshops with Luminous Youth, and then like we fell in love, and he was really the one that came and gave it this whole other level of structure. And he is so amazing at grasping concepts and fully, and then like turning them into something structural, and keep the integrity of what it is, which is something like I really struggle with. Like, so he really brought it to what it is today, and now it's just growing more and more and to like now we do 4 days a week. We've got like 60 families with us and we gather often and it's beautiful. And now we've grown and we've birthed ourselves into now, instead of Luminous Youth, Luminous Culture, because now we want to kind of really address the whole family unit as a part of a child's education and growing. It's not something you just send your kids to and it's separate to family and to community. We want it to be really something that we all do together for our own children, but also for other people's children. And so that's where we're at now. We're
Incredible.
just birthing through the canal of Luminous Community. And
Oh, how exciting. I love that so much. We for those listening, I discovered Erica and Paul's work just recently. I'd heard of it. We live in the same community, so I'd heard of it a lot, but we hadn't engaged in Luminous Youth. But it sounded amazing. Every time I heard of it, I just thought, oh, that sounds so good. I hope that we can be a part of that somehow one day. And now my oldest son is in a group with Paul on a Wednesday, and it's honestly incredible. And it really does, even though I drop him off every time I drop him off and rock up, it's like, I gather with everybody, and it just feels so family centric and so creative. And the way that you guys weave everything together is so, it's so family centric. It's beautiful. It's a real gift in our community to have people like you.
Thank you.
Amazing. And you guys, I'd love it if you could expand on the things that you offer for families, because I've seen, in the unschooling community, lots of different bush schools and things like that, but it's very kind of, I guess, just limited to the kids having an experience. And what I love about yours is that there are so many different things available for families, from camping together. I saw there's a storytelling night. I don't know, could you elaborate on what you offer? Because it's so beautiful.
We like lot like to me like over the last 22 years I've really come to know that story is where we really learn. We learn from anyone who's been in a women's circle totally gets that really massive learning happens just by listening to each other's stories. And sometimes really major life shifts have come for me reading a story or hearing another woman's story. It happened to me recently where I had just this whole perceptual shift from sitting with three women drinking tea and one telling me a story of her.
Incredible.
But it just made me go boom, 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 boom. So we really try and base everything we do around story. And Paul and I create stories. Paul's amazing. He's just amazing how his brain works. He just like, I'll be like talking about a topic and then he'll be like, ah, oh, there's a story in that. And
I love that.
he creates these beautiful stories for the kids around our local ecology, around emotional intelligence, around us learning to live in community, because I feel like that's a really new skill for us to be learning as humanity. We've really forgotten how to do that. We've become so separate and nuclear. And and so we have programs for different kind of age bunches. They're not nec it's not really like all 7-year-olds are together. It's more like I think it's 6 to 10, and then 10 to above, and then there's some stuff for the littlies. And with the littlies, we keep them with their family, with a parent or a carer, because we really believe that when they're little, being with someone who they know really well and they are really cared for by a family member is really where they belong. And
Totally.
actually, it's a biological imperative. So we create our programs around where the child is at in their biological unfoldment. We get a lot of our framework through loosely through Bill Plotkin's work. at Animus Valley, and we have a mentor there. So we do, that's for the kids. We do, so that takes 4 days to do all of those programs. And they're all like full of just these amazing, energetic, gorgeous little humans. And then we have, we probably do it once a term, a night called Ode to Story, where we just gather the community, like, and we all gather at our friend's big property on a hill around a fire. We light primitive fire. We have different storytellers. We always have like a child, a young person to entertain. Like they might, whatever they're doing, last time we had a circus, the time before that we had singer, another time we had a dancer, so that they're getting to showcase their skills and be really seen and appreciated by their community. And they're also working alongside adults, and they're paid and taken very seriously. And we feel that they love that so
That's
much.
so good. I haven't made it to one of those nights yet, but
Oh,
I
they're
can't
so
wait.
gorgeous. They really make my heart sing. And so we have that, and then we've just started venturing into the realm of camps because we really just want to start sharing with parents all of this amazing wisdom that has been passed to us through various people, and through our life experience, living how we live, to kind of support and to grow alongside each other, I guess, to really create more of a movement than these like individual pods of people almost like just living separately and like reaching out a little bit here and there. Like we're really like really to me, for anything to become an actual movement and to have that 100th monkey effect, it's like you need to kind of gather a bit and really build the momentum and really send that energy out there that this is possible. This is children are actually really intelligent souls who have come under our care, and that listening to them is just the most enriching and deeply spiritual journey we could ever hope for or wish for or have, because it's everything. And
That's incredible. I love that you mentioned spirit. I had a just reminded me of something that a sister said the other day in a different podcast episode. She's a Maori sister, and she said that she practices spirit-led learning with her children as a way of decolonizing and, just tuning into them, and the elements and being with the unseen. And children, obviously, they do it effortlessly. It's mostly the
They do.
adults that need help get coming back to that. So that
And that's
sounds
where I think
amazing.
it's you're not like, it's getting out of that mentality of the, because we're an adult, we're a teacher. It's getting out of that mentality and understanding that, of course, there will be moments when we will lead, and there'll be moments when they lead, because they are. My children really led me back to that. I had the luxury and the living on a 24-acre property and just like just living whole childhood. And they really, how they moved in the bush and how they were with all the animals that we had is probably the deepest spiritual learning I've ever done, like ever done, ever probably. I mean, I don't know. I won't say ever will, because
Who knows what's in
life has.
store?
But it was so like, like people call it decolonizing, and just like unraveling that conditioning that was layered upon me. And so there's learning in there for us if we want it. There's opportunity right in front of us if we want it. And it's, I can't say how rich I feel to have listened and watched and just observed quietly what they do and how they move in the natural world.
Yeah, amazing. It's incredible, isn't it? Like it's just when you get down on your child's level and just experience the world through their eyes, there's just so much available to us, so much learning available to us. I really resonate when you say it's deep spiritual work. It's not always easy, but
No way.
it's so
But let's be clear.
worthwhile. I know it's funny. Hey, it's like it is and it isn't. Some days I'm just like, wow, this is a big day. And other days
Totally.
it just flows seamlessly. And it's that's life though, isn't it? And that's the beautiful thing about, I love the term you use, life-centric learning. Did I get it right? Yeah,
Yes.
life-centric learning. I try not to, I don't really personally resonate with unschooling too much, or free schooling, or any of those other terms, because I don't see school as part of that experience at all, because the children aren't unlearning anything. It's us that are that's separate to
Yeah,
them.
totally.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so
And
life's
for me, it's like as they get older, because I'm in a different stage of life to probably a lot of people listening, and to you, Amy, is like I have older kids, like I have a 17, 19, and 22-year-old. They wanted school.
Yeah.
So that was a whole nother layer of a whole nother layer of understanding I had to do. Yeah. So
And
it's
surrender, I
like,
suppose, as well. Yeah.
life without school, but like that's actually my yearning. And
Yeah.
yeah, it worked so beautifully when they were little and young.
Yeah.
And for some people, like I have friends who they just did it the whole way through. My eldest had no inclination to go to school. And yeah, so I think we need to be careful. I'll just have an awareness. I've had to have an awareness around getting stuck on any way.
Right, yeah, that's really good
Because if we can
advice.
like get really stuck on homeschooling and they want to go to school, I've seen it have actually the reverse effect where the kid has felt like they're not allowed to live the life they want to live. The life is calling them. Like my daughter decided to go to school right in the middle of the pandemic. And I was like, are you like what? She was like, no, I just want to go right in the middle, like right in the middle of all that action. I just, you
That's
know,
so funny. She
see
just
if I
wanted
can
to
handle it.
talk about a test. That's so funny. But how beautiful that she was able to come to that decision and feel supported in her decision by a parent. Yeah. And I guess it is easy to get caught up in the dogma of things
Anything.
when it comes, yeah, anything. And that's a really good reminder because, yeah, it is, you know, when they're little, I guess it is easier in a lot of ways because they are still so much under your wing. But they do turn into free
Yeah.
thinking young adults. And
Right.
yeah, that's a realm of parenting I haven't entered yet. But
Yeah.
yeah. So maybe if there is anyone listening whose child is interested in going to school, could you share some of the process, or if you went through any process around that happening for you?
Going to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, going from, yeah, because it's a good thing to address, because it's often people think, well, if I unschool or if I homeschool, like that's it then forever. Like that's my forever decision. And, you know, they can never then enter the system, you know, the scary system. And I had luckily kind of read books, but like still deep down, I was absolutely shitting myself. But sorry,
That's
I
okay. It's all
really
welcome
was.
here.
So I've had two that have gone, and they've gone in there like, you know, they were both 15 at the time, and they both had different lead ups. Like my daughter has always actually really enjoyed workbooks, and like, you know, sometimes she'd ask to get a curriculum, and she'd just kind of do it, and like
Great.
she wanted out of it, and what she didn't want to do, she didn't do. So it was so loose, and she was an avid reader, and so for her, academically, the transition was so smooth, it was ridiculous. I was just like, she's like literally played in the bush for her whole childhood and then just done a few things that she's wanted. And she can just slot in to grade 10 and be put in top maths. Like, and this is like, it's not really that important to me, but just as an example, like she just went into all the top academic classes.
Yeah.
She did really intensely focus on these curriculums in the lead up. So she decided, and then we kind of had 6 months to a year of the lead up.
Okay.
And
So
so she did focus in, but
has
like
she made the decision that that's what she wanted and she started doing the work or preparing? Yeah, that's amazing.
yeah. And then my son, who's like not has never wanted to do a workbook in his life, and I would never ask him to do a workbook. He did the same. Like, he kind of had the decision, like, because it's not like it was pretty slim pickings for friends by the time they were that age with people. It was like heaps of kids when we were young, and then it fell off and fell off. And then the kids that were left really didn't have the same interest. They're really like outdoorsy, like they're like surfers, skaters, like they want to be out doing stuff. And a lot of the people that were kind of left were more like inward and like liked computer gaming and stuff like that. And so, yeah, he was like, I just need to go and get some mates like that I can do stuff with, you know, like it's just getting pretty slim. And I was like, totally, yeah. So he did the same. He just prepared. Like, he just prepared. And he prepared as best he could academically, and he does all right academically. Like, I actually don't care. And nor does he, and nor do the teachers at the school we go to. He's amazing with his hands. He's an amazing woodworker. And so he just thrived in the things he's interested in, and was like, yes, there's these like adults and this mom, there's like this workshop, and like these adults just like want to help you, and like just he was just couldn't believe how awesome.
Incredible.
So
That's amazing.
I guess to answer your question, it was so there was so it was no fuss. It's really not that hard. It's really not that much that they do at school. It's really made out to be this big deal.
Especially in high school, isn't it? Because I get people asking me often. My oldest is turning 9 this year, and I get people asking me, oh, what are you going to do for high school? What if he wants to go to high school? And there's this kind of like fear that because he's not at school now, that if he did make that decision later on, that he somehow wouldn't be able to be in that environment. But yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
It's just not true. And there are things where they felt like they were maybe like not privy to, like they didn't really get some of the dynamics between the kids. They didn't like it took them a bit to kind of catch into that way of thinking of kids who have been in an institution from the word go. They do think differently, but they just found their people, you know, like it just took them a bit. It wasn't like they walked in and it was just peachy, but it wasn't horrible. It just took them a minute to find, oh, okay, so this is what you do. Like, it's all new, you know. But it wasn't traumatic at all. And I would love to share this book, and I'm trying to think of the name. I think it's called Free at Last, and it's by that school in America. I think it's called Sudbury School. It's a democratic school in America. It's been going for like ever, like 40 years or something. And I remember reading in their book when the kids were younger, that they're like democratic. So what that means, people who don't understand, is like they have stuff there. Like, say if you had the school, a building where there's like the science and the drama and all, and there's facilitators there, but the child chooses what it does. So it's like unschooling within a school, and the kids make all the decisions of how the school works. So the longest that this, and they've been running for 30 or 40 years or something. So it's not like this new fad. It's working. The longest that they'd taken to teach a child the entire maths curriculum to get into uni, because it's, you know, kids decide they want to go to uni. And so I think it was 6 weeks.
What?
8, 12. So
Sorry, I'm speechless.
So what happens is when we want to learn something, we can hyper learn. When we want to learn something, when we're fully like focused, we can take on massive amounts of information and retain it. Whereas when we're being force-fed information, of course it takes 12 years, because who cares?
Totally. And a
But
lot
when
of
they're
the
like,
time, you're not even
listen.
ready for that information, or it's in an, it's like you're
Not
overstimulated.
relevant. It's not relevant. So, you know, say you're a vet and you're 16 and you're at this democratic school, you're like, oh shit, I've got to go to uni. So I'm going to need this, and this. Okay, like download me, go. And you're just like, blah, 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 because there's a reason for this information. It's not just like, because I got to go and I don't really know why and I don't really care, but I've got to plea, outwardly please all these other people. It's a self-driven. So, yeah.
That's amazing, and that's exactly how it should be. It's funny, I read something recently that the minimum age for most university courses in Australia is 13, and I knew it was under 16, but I didn't realize it was 13. And yeah, that was, I had the same, I was like, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my God, yeah, of course you could go to university when you're 13 if that's what you really wanted to do. Because
And people
if you were,
do.
yeah, and people do. And you know, it's not just these child prodigy people that
No.
enter those spaces at a younger age. It's children that have been supported to focus in on their zone of genius, whatever that is, and that want to pursue learning in that way. And there's so many different pathways to tertiary study that just are completely blatantly like not ignored and not communicated through the system, which is like really does a
Brilliant.
big disservice, doesn't it, to
Yeah. If
children.
you
But
start looking, it's really surprising. And yeah, it's really becoming less and less and less important to have
truly.
year 12 to like it's like becoming less important. Like they are less gelling together, university and school. In
Yeah.
fact, most university people will take unschoolers because they know they're self-driven. They know that. They know that they know how to do stuff on their own without someone spoon feeding them every day of the week. That kind of, yeah. So it can actually end up going for you rather than what we're led to believe is that it will go against us or our children.
And we're just living in a time now where it's not even an essential thing to have, you know, a university degree to be a highly successful person in whatever field it is that you're.
Like when our kids are older, how can we like even conceive of what is going to be needed when, say, your Sylvester is 19 in 10 years? Well, we're not gonna like with AI and all the stuff that's happening, for better or for worse, this world is gonna blow out in a whole different way to what we
Absolutely.
even conceive of yet. And so to think that we're preparing them for life is really needing to be re-looked at. But you just cannot hide under that anymore.
No way. It's
But we don't
so
know.
backwards and so irrelevant. Even now it's totally irrelevant, which is why what you guys are doing in Luminous Culture and expanding into creating spaces that involve the whole community and celebrate and honor like the collective learning experience and unlearning experience as well through these really like ancestral methods of storytelling and singing and creating. And it's really beautiful. It's just really like simplifying and coming back to simplicity and just supporting people to come back to themselves.
Yeah, and community,
And
because I think
community.
one of the things we can be sure of is in the coming times, we're going to need to work together.
We've seen a
I
little
think
bit of that, haven't we,
that's
recently?
we're going to need to know that. And so I guess that's why it's one of the core I don't know, it's not really a curriculum, but one of the core values we have in the games we play. And it's always fun. It's not like we sit there and go, right, now.
The apocalypse may happen.
Yeah, so let's prepare.
And you'll need A, B, C, D,
Push-ups.
D. But secretly. It's so
Being pulled
funny.
up at night planning.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I just yeah, I yeah. I've forgotten even what I was saying, but I think that's the only thing that we can be sure of is that we need to learn how to work together, that stories last thousands and thousands of years, and stories are so valuable to have in our pockets
Oh, yeah.
to use that. You know, maybe they hear a story now, and in 10 years, they're like, oh, that's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. Or it meant that then, and now it means that. And we talk to them about dreams. What does that mean? Like, what is your internal self saying? Through fun, obviously. These are the things. It's not to dismiss academics. I guess I'd just love to be clear on that because it's just not our thing. It's not what youth is focused on. We tried to kind of do it all, you know, and like cover all the bases, but we realize actually what we need to do is we need to choose what we feel totally called to share and really do it well. I totally get that some families need their kids to go to school. Like,
Yeah.
I totally get that. I totally get not everyone is in that luxurious position. So I really don't want to feel like I'm sitting here like this, like that it's just easy and that everyone can do it, because that's just not reality. So I guess where we're also heading now, is we're restarting our podcast with lots of ideas and juicy speakers, but also we're looking at releasing like packages for people to be able to do that as like a supplementary, to add to their life. If their life
Incredible.
does have to be in the city, if their life does have to be in school, and maybe their kid loves school, maybe their kid has this epic teacher, because I can tell you, my daughter had the most epic human as her guardian at our school. Like, he is just such a deeply amazing man. So, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, oh, unschooling's the only way.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Yeah.
There's lots of ways, but let's supplement everyone with these things that we need as human beings. We all need story. We
Yeah.
all need connection with the unseen realms. We all need to know and remember how to sit with a tree and to feel and hear what it says. We all need healing. Like, these are all biological needs that we need as humans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I love that. And you're so right, because it's not a possibility for everybody, nor is it even something that everybody wants? And there's a lot of young people out there that the academics is their jam, that's their thing, that's what they're into, and that's awesome,
Funny.
yeah. And so I guess it feels like to me in this time we're kind of in this space where there's such a big shift happening where everything's kind of, unschooling is a thing and school's a thing. Like I read recently down in the ACT, you can opt to do a half homeschooling week. And there's, yeah. And I think maybe in Tasmania as well, you can do that. And so there's like, it's a little shift, but it shows me that there is something, a shift happening that's becoming, making homeschooling, not just homeschooling, but making life more livable, I guess, for people. So they're not, it's not like one or the other. They can,
That's right.
yeah.
That's the dream, really, as they get older, that they could have places they go and gather with kids their own age, and have, like, people who are really, say, passionate about maths or passionate about herbs or whatever it is. Yeah. And be
Yeah.
able to get those needs met, as well as social play and all that. And yeah, because some people are in really isolated family, like the difference between, because my first three were kind of clustered, and then now I've got Loudie, who's 8. And so, because they're all out and about in life, it's almost like she's an only child. And it's given me this amazing perspective, in that, like, my other kids really, I guess they unschooled in the traditional sense, as they really didn't do any classes, in their really till they were 10 or 11. They just were so happy in the
Yeah.
bush. And whereas Loudie, she's kind of like at home with me, and I'm pretty fun, but like, I don't think I'm that fun. And and so it's really great that she has somewhere to go with other kids. And you know
Yeah.
what? We're all so diverse. We've all got these, maybe you live out back, maybe you live
Yeah.
in the city, you've got to work just because the prices are insane. Yeah. So
Yeah.
I feel like I'm really, as I get older, I'm really seeing with a more peripheral, bigger picture, that, gosh, we've all got this diverse scenario we're in,
Yeah.
and we
And
can.
that's so great, because I'm just so excited to see how Luminous Culture weaves in with all of that. And I love
Yeah,
how you
me too.
said you could create things for people that might not be on the homeschooling path, but
Yeah.
want to engage or reconnect with those elements that you were speaking about. And yeah, it's
Yeah.
really beautiful to be living in a time where that weaving is happening. And it's, I
Yeah.
don't know what it was like when you were unschooling with your older children, but do you feel there's more available in terms of like groups and classes and things like that now compared to, yeah.
It's really interesting because I was just thinking about this yesterday, actually. So like that. There's so much. It's insane. Like it's actually
It's
almost
insane. Yeah.
like you could do something like every day of the week, all day, and in the night.
Yeah.
And all there was when the kids were little was Luminous Youth and the beach and the bush
Yeah.
and. It's like there's pros and cons for both, because although it's amazing that there's all these opportunities, what I'm witnessing, because I'm forever watching, I'm a bit of a watcher. What I'm witnessing is this, there's almost like an overscheduling that's starting to happen, I see in the
Yeah.
homeschool world, where really what's happening is we're replacing school with just other structured environments. That really has a really profound effect on the psyche and the ability to know yourself and to not to really be able to be quiet enough to be able to tune into the world around you. Isn't human, that is like a lovely little plant friend. Or
Yeah.
like when you've got space, that needs spaciousness, that needs quietness, that needs contemplation, that needs time and boredom.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
beyond boredom, that. And so I'm noticing the same traits as in like, oh, you're only seven, I don't want to play with you, or stressed kind of behavior in homeschoolers for the first
Interesting.
time in quite a long time, because even though they're not going to school, they're very scheduled and they're separated into age groups at these places, like all 7-year-olds, or that, and they're taught,
Yeah.
so they're being asked to constantly step outside from their inner world into the outer world and to please someone else. And so I think I'm really sitting with that as an action more than a place. It's this action of someone constantly asking you to meet a something outside yourself,
Yeah.
a dance, or like it's fine. It's I'm not I don't want to like sound like I'm saying you shouldn't do that, but I really see the benefit and the thriving child who has a balance.
Yeah. It's really great that you're speaking to this because I've been guilty of that myself, absolutely,
Oh,
because there's
totally.
so much, especially in this community. My God, like
FOMO if you're at home.
when we first moved here, it was like it was turbo for a while there. And we only do one day a week now, Luminous Youth on Wednesdays, and our littlest Essie goes on Thursdays.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so nice to have that spaciousness. And it's taken us actually, like in our own personal journey as a family, a while to get there because we were still caught up in that, oh, we have to be doing stuff and, our kids need friends. And now it's like, yeah, one thing a week is totally enough for
Yeah,
us at
I
this
think it's
point. And that
people.
might change, but like at this particular moment. And yeah, it's definitely something I've noticed. And I mean, yeah, it's cool if that's what you want to do, but I think it's good for parents to ask themselves why they're doing it, or, why am I scheduling my child into all of these things? Is it actually benefiting them? Do they have the space to really be with themselves or be with the unseen things, the trees, the rivers, Yeah.
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 I think that's the quandary, isn't it? It's the like
Yeah.
the amazing stuff they're getting from this outside world, like from, structured learning, but what you're giving up. Like I think a lot of us, and it just took me time too, like to understand what I'm actually giving up when I completely structure my kids' worlds. I'm
Yeah.
actually giving up something, the same as I'm giving up something when they don't go to, this and that and that, and you think, oh, but actually I didn't really feel like that, but I can understand the thing of like, oh, they might miss out on knowing that, but
Yeah.
they'll also know the lizards in their garden and they will love them and protect them. And I think if
Yes.
we're really serious about creating a different humanity, It starts there. It starts them knowing themselves, and it starts them actually having a personal relationship with the immediate world around them and their community.
Absolutely. And children just, they're so present with the magic of everything in every single moment. And yeah, to just support that. It's literally everything.
Yes.
Amazing. I think that there's just so much in what you're saying. Being on this journey, there's so much space to just be with the unspoken. And so sometimes it's hard to speak about it.
I think something that's coming up for me at the moment that I, if you don't mind,
Go
that I
for it.
feel like is important is that, like, I don't know, like sometimes I think we can, I can get on these things and I'm like, yeah, it's epic, and like, and it is. And then also, some of the things that kids are also present with is their really big feelings and their that sometimes, we can schedule and we can create this life to keep our kids busy, to like keep things like harmonious and peaceful. And then they're kind of like avoiding their big feelings. And so sometimes when parents begin this journey, particularly when they begin this journey, it can look really ugly, and messy. And they're like, this is really crap. Like they're really unhappy and they're bored and they're just at me. And there's and that can happen in waves on and off all the way through our journey. And there's a real discomfort in that for us because, there wouldn't be a huge amount of us who were raised like this, So then we're also sitting with these like, oh my God, should I be doing something? Like she's not even happy. Like, so really getting a good understanding around, there's this, I don't know, there's this term that's weird called de-schooling. I really need to come up with a new term, but like, that unraveling of conditioning, particularly if you've come from a structured life, no matter how much what wherever that comes from, school or whatever, that there is an unraveling, and then that is the key, and that, that we can, I had to learn, like I had, part of my learning was how to be with that and not solve that. Not solve it, to be able to be with it and have complete focus and faith that they're going to know where to go next if I just stay with that. So yeah, I guess I always really want to just be clear in that it's not peaches and cream all the time. Not just at the beach in
It's
the
not.
sun, also wonderful.
It's chaotic
Sometimes
sometimes.
it sucks.
Yeah,
But so
totally.
does any life, you know what I mean? But yeah, so I just want to say it's real. We're humans, we're a family, we get sick of each other, we trigger each other, like, and when they're older, that can happen amplified, like it's still life, it's still a messy journey, but there's an epic learning in there, and there's amazing people around who help us learn how to navigate, big emotions and feelings in a way that the children learn how to resolve them themselves. Well, they learn the process, I guess. We naturally know what we need to be healed to heal ourselves, whether it's just a big cry or whether it's a rage or whether it's just talking or yeah. So there's that whole emotional intelligence that can come, is on offer for this of learning as well, because you are with them in real time and it's coming up in real time. And I personally loved deep diving into all of that when my kids were little and totally seeing that evolve and change as they got older and in the way that they needed to be held and what where I needed to lean in and where I needed to kind of just step back. And yeah, it's just, to me, that's like just such an exquisite learning on offer for us who who choose to allow our kids to be with themselves.
Yes, I really resonate with that.
Even though it's messy, it's exquisite. Like there's this, understand what's happening. You're like, wow, like she is like, rah! Oh, that's really confronting, but wow, the power in that. Wow, like, and if I can be with that and I don't shame that or try and put a cap on that, She's going to keep that. That's what
Yeah,
the world body needs.
totally. Thank you
Yeah.
so much for speaking to that. It's a part of unschooling that I don't think is spoken about enough, to be honest. It's been beautiful recently to watch Sylvester channel his emotions through his art making, and he's really,
Amazing.
yeah, really taken a, experimenting, especially when he's not feeling great. He used to, normally just make stuff all the time, but when he's feeling angry or sad, he turns to drawing. And that's where he channels it. And we were just talking
Did he
about
do
that the
that
other
naturally?
day. Yeah,
Did he do that? He
he just
just chose to
started,
do that?
yeah, just it's just a recent thing that he's started doing. And he did a drawing the other day that he was feeling really pissed off about something. And so he drew it on a piece of paper. And we had such a long conversation about that. I was just like, look, you've put all of that was in your body is now on this paper. We get to look at it. Like, how cool is that?
How cool is that?
And he was like kind of taken. He was like, what? And he's like, oh, but I was pissed off. And I'm like, yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, it was. And he just came to that by himself. And it was like an aha moment for me as well, that, I was like, oh, okay, I'm doing something right. And also, yeah. And it's beautiful just to, yeah, just like what you said, mirroring what you said, just to witness them be immersed in all of their processes and all of their emotions from, it's not just the peaches and cream stuff. It's,
That we put on Instagram, like we're all like,
yeah,
like
totally.
it's you know, because you're not going to put that on Instagram
No.
because they're private
Yeah.
meltdown, but like I love to talk about it because I think if we can normalize all emotions, I think we'd be a healthier,
And
all
for
healthier,
pet,
all healthier.
absolutely. And for parents as well, like some days I'm like, oh man, I just want to send them all off to school. Because I'm just like, man, I've got to enroll you at school and I've just got to take a break. And I don't know. It's just that I think about that way often than I would like to admit at the moment. Because I've got three small kids and it's just some days I'm just so overwhelmed. But I have an equal amount of days that are beautiful as well. And I think it's important to acknowledge all of it, like what you said.
And that you're doing the job of a village.
Yes,
That's why it's hard.
yes,
That's
yes.
also important to acknowledge that we are the forerunners for this change. This change isn't where it's meant to be. It's not a finished product. Homeschooling is
Yeah.
it. It really is unsustainable and it's ridiculous on the mark. It's just asking more of already exhausted mothers, really.
Thank you so much for speaking to that as well and validating that.
Your
Yeah.
tiredness is so warranted. Like your
Yeah.
tiredness is because what has been asked of you is super inhumane, really. And you're being brave and courageous enough to step into a role that is far beyond what, you're really meant to be doing. So that next, hopefully next generation are going to be able to live in community and you're going to be amongst, like a community of men and women doing this together. And it won't
Yeah.
fall on you to
Like
be.
we're steering the ship back and hopefully.
And we're like,
Yeah,
Arr.
totally. It's like, how long do we have to turn this wheel
See,
for? And
I'm
all the kids are just on the ship having like
Right.
such a great
What's wrong
time.
with you? Like, Laddie says to me, your hair makes you look like a really tired mum. And I'm like, I
That's
am tired today. If I
so
wear it in a,
funny.
like a mum bun, she's like, that's the tired mum hairstyle.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I work with mums one on one. Well, I work parents one on one, but it's often the mums that come through Luminous Culture. I offer one-to-one sessions. And yeah, it's that same story that I hear all the time. And what I love reminding mums is like, you are doing so much. Like you are, you're a forerunner, you're a pioneer, you are, the pioneer species for a big revolution. And of course we had people come before us, but it's still, like you said, we're still steering the ship. The majority still isn't thinking in that way. So
Yeah.
good on you.
Yeah, good on us.
Yeah,
Good
good
on
on.
everybody that is
Well, good on
doing
everyone, because
it.
everyone's
Yeah.
probably doing something completely different to what yeah.
Yeah. It's big.
Ugh, it's huge. Motherhood in
I
general.
know, motherhood in general. Oh my God, there's a whole other episode.
Yeah, it is.
And it's in the small community that I kind of, my friends, a lot of the people that are doing the majority of the homeschooling. I know people can't see me. I'm doing those things with my hands. The unschooling or at home with their kids are the mothers, because people are still working and we're living in this like crazy time where everything is just like costs a shit ton. And yeah, to be doing this in this time is a major, major decision. And it's possible, it's absolutely possible, but we do really need community to
Yeah,
make
that
it
really needs
sustainable.
going. Can't think that home that this is the end goal. Yeah, the goal is still like over there where we're not.
And we may not see it in our lifetime.
No.
We probably
No,
won't
we
see it
may
in our
not.
lifetime.
Yeah, and that's okay. We just got to
That's
do our
okay.
bit, mate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I could continue talking all day long. But yeah, this has been such a great conversation. I'm sure everybody who's listening has had a lot of aha moments and gotten a lot of golden nuggets from listening to you speak, Erica.
Thanks.
I'd just love to know, for those who are listening, where would they be able to find you and find your work? And is your work available online or to people that are outside of the Northern Rivers area?
Well, we will be. We're like, that's what we'll be doing this whole holidays. We are so the best place to keep in touch is luminousculture.life. And we are coming online soon. So we will be offering some online stuff for families and kids, like some of Paul's stories and some of the activities we do and prompts and stuff like that. So there'll be some beautiful stuff for the young people. And there'll also be some beautiful stuff for the parents to support them on this journey. Even if their children go to school, there's still heaps of amazing stuff that we are looking forward to offering. And then we'll also be offering, we have done some here in the Northern Rivers where we're training mentors. But what we're getting a lot of questioning about is how do we start something like that where we are in London or South Africa? Or we're getting lots of people from overseas kind of interested in starting it. And, a lot of them start up and then collapse. So I think we are looking at creating something for that as well. So
Amazing.
if you go there and you follow our newsletter, like if you get our newsletter, that is the best way that you'll be kept up to date with all our new offerings and also all our existing offerings. And then also the usual like social media, it's just under Luminous Culture. So
Incredible.
yeah.
Luminous culture worldwide.
Yeah, global.
Global. I love it. I love it. I love the name Luminous Culture so much. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we need, isn't it? A culture around us all to support us. We need to create.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. It's just non-negotiable. Thank you so much, Erica. It's been
Thanks for
such a
having me,
pleasure
Amy.
chatting
It was
to
such an honor,
you.
and good on you for doing this. It's so great. It's such a beautiful offering to all of those people who are like, on this journey. It's such a beautiful that you're doing on top of everything else. So
On top of mothering and all the
thank
things.
you.
Yes, storytelling. I love listening to other people's stories of all the things. So yeah, this is really good. And I know that a lot of people are resonating with it. So I know a lot of people can't wait to hear you speak too. So
Oh, yay.
yay. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Lots of love.
Thanks for tuning in to the School Free Life podcast. If you'd like to tune in to previous episodes or listen to future episodes, follow along on all major streaming platforms. Alternatively, if you'd love to see some more content around co-creating an abundant school-free life with your family, follow along on our Instagram page at the.school.free.life.